All right, as we get into the Word of God this morning, I want to go to Acts chapter 7, verse 20 as we go there today. Acts chapter 7, beginning at verse 20. We're in our series, Overwhelmed. And as we've been talking about this whole topic of being overwhelmed, I started reading chapter 7 this week and it really grabbed my attention. As we go there, the Word of God says this in verse 20. At that time, Moses was born, a beautiful child in the eyes of God. His parents cared for him at home for 3 months when they had abandoned him. Pharaoh's daughters adopted him and raised him as their own son. And Moses was taught all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was powerful in both speech and action. One day, Moses was 40 years old. He decided to visit the relatives of the people of Israel. He saw the Egyptians mistreating the Israelites, so Moses came to the man's defense and avenged him, killing the Egyptians. I want you to notice something in verse 25. Moses assumed. Can we all just say that word together? Moses assumed. Say it with me. Say assumed. All right, this is powerful. Moses assumed. Moses assumed his fellow Israelites would realize that God had sent him to rescue them, but they didn't. The next day he visited again and saw the two men of Israel fighting, and he tried to be the peacemaker. Men, he said, you're brothers, why are you fighting each other? So Moses tried to come, then he came to try to rescue these people, and notice this. Verse 27, the man in the wrong pushed Moses aside. He actually pushed Moses and said, who made you ruler and judge over us? He asked, are you going to kill me like you killed the Egyptian yesterday? When Moses heard that, he fled to the country and lived as a foreigner in that land, the land of the Midian. There he was with two sons, was born. 40 years later, in that desert in Mount Sinai, the angel appeared to Moses. I'm going to stop right there and we'll continue later. Let's just pray. Father, I just ask that you bless this word in Jesus' name. Father, I pray, God, that you would just speak to our hearts, Lord, and show us what it is that you want us to learn, that we can apply it to our lives as we open our hearts to receive your word, Lord. You are faithful. You are with me here. I just pray that you speak through me in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Last Monday, I was in my friend's church. And we were going to go out to lunch, but I paid him a visit. We were in his office. And as I was in his office, I have a tendency to look around and try to figure out people by what they own. You guys do that? And I'm sitting in his office and I'm looking at all the things he has in his office. I see pictures of his family. I see pictures of him when he was in the Navy. I see all these little things. But there was one thing that grabbed my attention. There was one thing that really just I had my focus on. And that was a snow globe. And I started looking at this snow globe. And when he wasn't looking, I actually grabbed it and started playing with it and just checking it out. And I started shaking it, and I was so intrigued by something. You see, if you ever owned a snow globe or been entertained by one, you notice that there comes a point that in a snow globe, the water's calm, and nothing's going on, and it's almost peaceful. But as I grabbed it, and I began to shake it, and when it was finished and I stopped shaking it, it actually became even more intriguing and more interesting to me and actually more beautiful. And when I started shaking it and I looked at all the little snowflakes and everything that was going on in that little town, that's what it was. It was almost like the Lord was just showing me something there. You see, sometimes in our lives, things can be calm, things can be peaceful, things can be fine, everything can be okay, and it almost feels like God doesn't want it that way. And God just grabs you. And he begins to shake your world. He begins to shake your life. And nothing makes sense, and you're trying to figure out what's going on and why is God allowing certain things to happen and occur. In fact, when you look at your life, I hear people all the time tell me in counseling, "Pastor, my life is just shaky right now." You see, that word shake, it means to be unstable and unlikely to succeed. That's what the word shaky means in the dictionary. To be unstable and unlikely to succeed. So people come up to me and they tell me, "Pastor, my marriage is shaky right now. And I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if we're going to end up divorced or staying together. Pastor, my finances are shaky right now. My health is shaky right now. And things in my life are just so unstable. And it makes no sense. And nothing seems peaceful anymore. And I don't know what God is doing." See, sometimes God will disturb your peace. Sometimes God will disturb the calmness in your life, and you're trying to figure out, why is it that God, who is a God of peace, is not allowing me to experience peace in my life? And God will disturb, yeah, he will just disturb the peace in your life, and things get shaky. But see, I started thinking about that snow globe. And I realized, not only in my personal life, but in your life, or in the life of those listening online right now, I want you to understand that sometimes God will shake you and allow tragedy in your life and circumstances that are beyond your understanding, that are difficult, in order to bring something out beautiful. Just like a snow globe. God will shake it. God will shake you. God will disrupt things. And in the end, when it's finished, it's when you look back and you realize the beauty of what God was trying to bring out of you, the beauty of what God is, and the beauty of His purpose. That's why the Bible says that sorrow may last through the night, but joy comes in the morning. And you may not like it when God shakes things up in your life. It may be uncomfortable. It may not be peaceful. But you don't realize that in order for God to bring about the beautiful, sometimes He has to first do some shaking. And we don't like it. But think about this in the Bible. When Peter was in prison, and the prison cell was dark, and he was bound in chains between two guards, and a heavy gate blocked him. And he didn't know what God was doing. It didn't seem fair that Peter was going through that. And God made no sense. And we look at the fact that God came through that night, and the chains fell off, and the prison doors opened, and Peter got out of it. But in the Bible says that first, it was an earthquake. In other words, God began to shake things first. And at that moment, if I'm Peter, I'm thinking, it's bad enough that I'm in prison. It's bad enough that I've been beaten. It's bad enough that I've been rejected. And now God is allowing an earthquake that's going to kill me? But Peter didn't realize that that very earthquake was what God was using to break the chains off him. And to open doors that Peter could not open. See, sometimes God allows things in your life to be shook and shaken up because He's trying to break some chains of addictions off you. And sometimes God allows your life to get shook up because He's trying to open doors that you can't open for yourself. And opportunities that you can never imagine are on the way. But before God can do it, He has to shake you. And we don't like it when God shakes us. We don't like it when God just disturbs our peace. And we say it's so much better when it's calm. But when God begins to shake you, it's because when it's over, it's better. That maybe you're here, you're saying, "Pastor, I don't know why God is allowing me to suffer this. I don't know why God is shaking me, but I wish God would stop." But see, God has a purpose for when He lets your world shake. See, before even Jesus got out of that grave, which we celebrate so much, amen? Was there not an earthquake first? See, that's what the Lord began to show me this week. Before I can bring about the beautiful, I have to start shaking you. I have to just allow you to go through this because it's actually better for you. That's why Jesus was with his disciples, and one day Peter and Jesus are having a conversation, the most awkward conversation I believe they ever had. And Jesus just says, "Hey Peter, guess what? I had a conversation with the devil and he asked permission to shift you as wheat." In other words, when you sift wheat, you grab the wheat and you shake it in order to bring about the grain. And then Jesus just says, if I'm Peter, I'm thinking, well, you said no, right? And he said, no, I'm going to pray for you. That's what he says. So imagine Jesus comes up and he says, "Hey, the devil asked me permission to shake you. And what'd you say?" "Huh, I'm going to pray for you." That's frightening. That's crazy. But see, God said, "Satan, I'll give you permission to shake him. Because after it's done, he's going to be a better disciple. He's going to be a better man. He's going to be a better follower." See, sometimes God even allows Satan to shake you. Because he wants to better you as a person. See, Moses' life was calm. His snow globe was perfect. He was in Egypt. He was a prince. He had servants. Life was good. Life was peaceful. Life was gentle. Everything was fine. What's interesting is that Moses, while in the palace, not in the desert like we believe, but while in that palace, the Bible shows us in verse 25 that Moses knew he was called by God to be a deliverer. It wasn't in the desert that he said, "Oh, I didn't know you wanted to be a deliverer." Somewhere in his lifetime, in the palace, when everything was comfortable, God revealed to him, maybe through his mom, maybe through a prophet, I don't know. But Moses knew that God had sent him to rescue them. So one day Moses is comfortable, he's in the palace, and I don't know how, but God showed Moses, "I have a calling for you. I have a purpose for you. And you're going to be a deliverer for these people." And Moses was like, "All right, I'll do it." And he knew he had a calling. He just didn't know how God was going to do it. So Moses had this comfortable life. Everything was peaceful. And one day he's in the palace and his little snow globe is perfect. And when he looks, he sees an Egyptian beating a Hebrew. And he thought to himself, "This is it." He assumed, the Bible says, he assumed this is how God's going to do it. This is the opportunity that God's going to use so the people can recognize my calling and see that God has sent me. You know, Moses was a little arrogant there. And he said, "This is the opportunity." And in his mind, he assumed, the Bible says. So picture this. Moses, when he saw the Egyptians, he thought about it and he says, "Oh, this is great. See, I'm going to go down there. I'm going to beat this guy up. I'm going to really show him. And everyone's going to recognize me. They're going to see that I'm a deliverer, that God has sent me. They're going to admire me. They're going to love me. They're going to appreciate me. They're going to be like, 'Moses, Moses, Moses.' And it's going to be awesome." So he runs down there like his little cape, a superhero. It's super Moses. He comes and he fights the Egyptians. He maybe accidentally kills him, but it's okay because he buries it. Thank God for shovels. He just buries him. And when he looks at everyone, he's expecting the applause. He's expecting the admiration. And something unexpected happens. The guy pushes him. The people didn't care. The people rejected him. And on the flip side, rather than being admired and loved for what he did for them and his calling, he got rejected and he fled to the wilderness for 40 years. Was that in God's plan? Did Moses assume that that was going to happen? Absolutely not. In one moment, he was rejected. In one moment, he lost everything. And God began to shake him. And his whole world made no sense now. He lost the palace. He lost his adopted family. He lost his friends. He lost his power and credibility and money and wealth and pleasure. Everything he knew was gone. And God was just shaking him. For 40 years, you ever feel like God is just shaking you? You're like, God, what are you doing? I'm giving you a good shaking. Because Moses teaches me what I'm hoping he teaches you. See, Moses taught me through this passage that sometimes my assumptions are not God's reality. You ever just had assumptions about your life? You ever seen, this is my favorite part about being a pastor, is premarital counseling. Makes me sick. They come up there like this Nicholas Sparks book and it's just all romance. They have this assumption about marriage. They're going to wake up smiling. They're always going to be close. Pastor, he just gets me. Pastor, she's amazing. She's perfect. And then once the honeymoon is over, you realize that no one is who they are when they're dating. The real them is when you get married and you live with them. Amen? And it's kind of like Jacob when he woke up thinking he was married to Rachel, but he woke up with busted up Leah. When the veil came off, he was like, what have I done? See, that's what marriage is. Dating is all a veil. Marriage is when it all comes out and the men and the women say, what have I done? Who am I married? It's just assumption. That's why the divorce rate is so rapid. Because we go into these marriages assuming that it's easy. Why? Oh, because we're in love. You need more than love to make marriage work. You need sacrifice. You need commitment and selflessness, not love. And then comes the expectancy, the assumptions about children. You ever meet someone that has no kids? They always say, I want like 5. Maybe 6. And all it takes is 1 for you to realize we got to work on number 2. Maybe number 2. I don't know. And you never assume. You assume that it's going to be nice. They're going to be like little ducklings walking straight behind mama just there. And the Lord gives you this demonic child that's running all over the wall like, and everything's crazy. And you got to feed them all the time, all the crackers and goldfish, and you never have time to sleep, and they're always barfing and pooping. And you're like, what's wrong with you? And it's not what you pictured. It's a blessing, by the way. Children are a gift from the Lord. We love our children here at Forward Fellowship. Don't write me an email. My favorite assumptions that I've made is ministry. I was a little Moses. I thought, oh man, I know I'm called, God. And when I get my church, man, people are going to appreciate your word. They're going to love your church. People are going to get saved. I said revival. I didn't say revival. I said revival. You know, when you elongate it, it's more like meaningful. So I really felt like revival was coming to Miami because of me. And when I got called to ministry, I thought that I was going to go right to the platform and everyone was going to get saved. And my pastor at the time, as soon as I said, I'm ready, what do you want me to do? He hands me a toilet brush. And says, just clean toilets. And when I got my promotion, he gave me a mop. And said, you get to do floors now. You get to clean out rooms. You get to, and then later on, 2 years later, he said, I'll let you teach a Bible study. And I was like, do you know who I am? Do you know God has called me? And God was just shaking me. I remember the lonely nights and everything we went through. Then I started forward. We had assumptions when we started this church. I was so naive. I actually prayed a nice godly prayer and I said, Lord, send me the broken for revival. And that's the only prayer God seemed to answer quick. Because broken came. And they stayed broken for a long time. We had the craziest people. I got bit by a woman on this altar. True story, just got bit in the altar. She came at me with open arms. I'm thinking, finally, revival. And she just bit me on the shoulder and just cursed me out. It's not what I assumed. Remember our church bus? That had no floor? And you got to remember, I came from a church of where I was at the time before Ford. The church had about 20,000 members. We had the latest and the nicest and the newest things. So when they told me, Pastor, we got a church bus, I assumed it was a perfect bus. And I'm thinking, why do I feel like Fred Flintstone? I looked at the ground and there's a floor there. Holes on the roof. Things were messed up. And I said, God, I never assumed this. This church has gone through so much, and everything we've gone through, the majority of it, I never assumed. See, that's what life is all about. Like Moses, we have our assumptions about our lives, where we're going to be, at what certain time in our lives, what we're going to have, what are we going to achieve, what will we just experience and accomplish, and we all just assume. And isn't it interesting that our assumptions about our lives are always about ourselves, and they're awesome. We even have our assumptions about God. And there's a certain way that God should have done things for you. And there's a certain method that God should have done for you. And God should have been like this for you. And God, you should have given me that. You should have done that. And God, you should have allowed this in my life by now. And we make these assumptions about God. That's why Isaiah 55:8 is one of the most difficult verses to understand. Because the Bible says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. That's what God says. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways going to be my way, declares the Lord. That's hard to understand because God is saying, I'm not going to do things like you. I'm not going to think like you. But this is the promise that God says. He says, as high as the heavens are, my way is higher. My way is higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. So God, you know, when you really understand this, there's two ways to understand this scripture. One is that God's not going to do or think how I do or think. Could you handle that? Don't ever pray, but Lord, I think. Lord, I feel and I think that you should do it this way. That's why we get so discouraged, because we trust more our thoughts and our ways than God's thoughts and our ways. And it's hard to understand God. And the second way we understand this verse is that God is letting his children know, I'm at a whole other level beyond what you're capable of even grasping or understanding. So God is saying, I'm at such a different level than where you're at. Because you're on earth and I'm in heaven. And you can't even begin nor have the ability to reason with me. We got to stop thinking that we're equal to God in our understanding and our methods. And we need to be so humble to say, Lord, my ways and my thoughts are not yours, and I just want to do it your way.
That's hard to understand.
Moses had his thoughts. He said, well, I'm called. Clearly, I'm called by God. And I think that I'm going to kill this Egyptian. And people are going to love me. People are going to appreciate me. And he had all these assumptions and all these thoughts. And he quickly realized that his thoughts were not God's thoughts. And he had even his own strategy. I'm going to go and I'm going to fight this man. I'm going to kill him and rescue him. And that's going to open the opportunity for them to recognize me. And everything's going to fall through into place. And God's plan's going to happen. And he had his own methods, like you have your method of how you're going to accomplish what God wants to accomplish in your life. But he doesn't want to do it your way. Sometimes we have to be so humble that we say, Lord, it's not about how I'm going to do it or my method. I'm just going to trust you. So if you're in a place that you don't know how you're going to get out of it, you don't know how you're going to get this, you don't know how you're going to get them or how you're going to get out of this situation, you just say, Lord, it doesn't matter because it's not about my way. It's about God's way that's higher. And Moses quickly realized, man, God's thoughts were not my thoughts. And after 40 years, Moses realized, man, my ways were not God's way. I thought God would promote me overnight. Just by killing this one guy. And God had to wait 40 years. See, as believers, we have to be in this place that we have to recognize that God is so sovereign and so mighty and powerful that we are not even worthy to present our thoughts or our ways to Him. So stop thinking. Amen? Just stop thinking. It'll give you peace. Just stop assuming. That's why you're so miserable, because you're living under false assumptions. So Moses is thrown into this desert. He's not expecting this. He never saw this coming. And can I tell you that Moses, the last place he thought was the wilderness. Moses was a pretty boy, by the way. He grew up in just position and status. You know, Moses grew up in Brickell, and God threw him over at West Kendall, there, way down in Homestead, in the middle of a farm. And he was in an environment he was not comfortable with. The Bible says that Moses had a fear of snakes. Did you know that? You would if you read your Bible. God turns a staff into a snake and Moses runs. Oh my God! And that's who God threw in the wilderness, that's filled with snakes. So he's in the wilderness, he's like, oh my God. It's so dirty, it's snakes, it's so skin, what is it? It's so hot. Where's my fanboy? That's what they had in Egypt, right? Where is, I miss him. Where is he? Where are my servants? God, you took my servants away. You took my fanboy away. You took everything away. Let me be honest with you. The desert was not what Moses wanted. But it was everything Moses needed. God will use your setbacks, your failures, your unexpected trials that you don't want. He says, yeah, you don't want it, but you need it. Because he's preparing you. He's preparing your character. Because one of the greatest mistakes we make in our flesh is to think we're ready when God knows when we're ready. And Moses thought he was ready to be the deliverer that God had called him to be, but clearly he wasn't. Because he took matters into his own hands, never prayed about it, never asked God for the opportunity. He just assumed, took responsibility and controlled, and messed up his life. Is that not the story of your life? You take control of your life, you do what you want, and you end up messing it all up and blaming God. Well, that's a whole other sermon. I'm not going to get there. The desert was not what Moses wanted, but it was exactly what Moses needed. That's why James 1, verse 2, talks to a church that was being persecuted. They were going through trials. They were going through setbacks. Everything. I mean, we know why. Because they gave their lives to Jesus. And they have these assumptions, like Moses, that once I give my life to Christ, it's going to be great. It's going to be easy. I'm going to have peace. I'm going to have joy. Everything's going to be awesome. God's going to take care of me. And life's going to be easy now. And the minute they gave their lives to Jesus, their houses were burned. Their children had suffered death. They were being persecuted, thrown in jail. Everything was wrong. Everything was difficult. And they did not assume that this is what it meant to be a Christ follower. And life was hard. They were discouraged. They wanted to give up. So Paul writes the letter to them that I would have punched Paul in the face for, because notice what he said in this letter. Consider it pure joy. My Christian brothers, are you telling me that in the moments of my deepest despair, I have to consider it as a moment for joy? You don't take joy in the circumstance. You take joy in the opportunity because of the circumstance. That's what God was saying. God doesn't expect you to have joy because you lost your job. Have joy because a doctor says you're ill. Have joy because you have a child that's wayward and far away from the Lord. God doesn't want you to say, well, this is awesome. Yes, I love this suffering. That's crazy. God says, no, have joy because you know that in the midst of this trial, notice what God says, whenever you face, not if, but whenever, because it's going to happen, whenever you face trials of many kinds, not just one, sometimes God is so awesome, He throws many. You're like, Pastor, that's me. I have many trials, many kinds. Because you know, he says, that it's just a testing of your faith. And it develops perseverance, which is patience. And perseverance must finish its work so that you may be what? Mature and complete. You know, maturity is not measured by the time you've been in church. Maturity is not measured by how much Bible you know. Maturity is measured by what you've gone through, and you still have faith in God, and you're still following the Lord. See, that's what I love to see in my church. Knowing that what you're going through, you're still walking with the Lord faithfully. And God says that when you go through this trial, it is producing in you maturity. So God says, there's a reason that I'm putting you through this, just like there was a reason He was putting Moses through the desert. So you're saying, it's not what I want. Absolutely, no one wants trials. But everyone wants maturity. Everyone wants to be blessed. Everyone wants to persevere. And God says, in order for me to bring that about in your life, I have to allow trials. And Moses didn't realize it, but that desert for 40 years was actually a trial, a testing time that God was using to develop him for what was to come. Because if Moses would have been a deliverer at the time he felt like he should have been a deliverer, can I preach to you for a second? If Moses would have done it, if God would have done it Moses' way, and let's just say hypothetically God says, all right, Moses, you clearly know you're called, because I told you. You clearly feel you're ready, so I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to get you to be the deliverer. And Moses would have delivered all the millions of Israelites to the desert. The first thing Moses would have said is, guys, does anyone know how to survive in the desert? Where's my fanboy? What do you mean he's still in Egypt? No, bring him back. Moses would not have been prepared to handle the wilderness because he knew nothing about it. So God said, Moses, I'm going to grab you here for a minute. I'm going to shake you. You're going to lose everything. And for 40 years, you're going to get bit by snakes. You're going to be in the wilderness. You're going to have to be a survivor. You're going to be naked and afraid. I love that show. But 40 years. See, we make the mistake to tell God, I'm ready. And you're saying, God, I'm ready to be married. And if God gives you your spouse now, you mess it up. Why? Because you don't have character. God, I'm ready for my promotion. And if God gives it to you now, you mess it up. Why? Because you're not ready for it. God determines when you're ready. And Moses felt he was ready until he realized he wasn't. And God had to take him into the wilderness for a crash course of maturity. And after 40 years, are you listening? After 40 years, that's enough to convince me God has given up, God is done, God's not going to do anything. Some of you have been in the problem for a week and you're ready to quit. 40 years is enough for me and the devil to agree. It's over. And then 40 years later, I love it because Moses is herding sheep. He's married, he has kids. In other words, Moses didn't want the desert, but he made it work. We got to stop complaining about where we're at. And just make it work. What is God trying to teach you in the season that you're in right now? Well, I don't like this job. Make it work. Well, I don't like my spouse. Make it work. You married them. But Moses, he's just doing his thing. Maybe from time to time he remembered his fanboy, his nice life. Maybe, but maybe Moses sucked it up after 5, 10, 20 years. He said, you know what, I'm not going back to that. So God, if you want me to be a shepherd, I'll be the best shepherd this desert's ever had. And he made it work. And as he's going to work one day, he's walking and he sees this burning bush. Y'all know the story, he sees this burning bush. And it's different because, you know, I preached this, a message like this on Friday to the homeless in the shelter. And I said, you know, it was so common to see burning bushes all throughout the desert. So it wasn't a big deal for Moses to see bushes just burning up. But when he looked at this one, he saw that this particular bush was consumed by fire, but it was not destroyed. And it got his attention. And the Bible says he turned to it. See, sometimes God does the unexpected to get your attention because it's the only way you're going to turn to Him. Come on. And Moses just turns to the bush because he's curious. Not knowing that it was God. And that God was about to speak to him because you know what? There are seasons that God goes silent, but He cannot go silent forever. And for someone here today, maybe you're online, the Lord will break His silence and give you direction. So Moses goes to this burning bush, and it talks. Not the bush, but he heard a voice. And I was thinking about this and I said, God, why didn't you just speak from heaven like you did all the other times? Why did you use a bush burning but not consumed to grab the attention of Moses? I really prayed about this and the Lord just showed me for two reasons. One, it made no sense. Because burning bushes burn down. But this one remains standing. made no sense. And can I tell you that what God was telling Moses was what he's telling you today? Sometimes God says, I make no sense to you. Some of you are going through something that makes no sense. It makes no sense when God allows you to have cancer. It makes no sense to me when I see a child suffer and die. It makes no sense when marriages end in divorce when you're a child of God. It makes no sense to me why God allows you to lose things and suffer things. Sometimes in our lives, if we're honest enough, you can say, God, this makes no sense. And God says, that's how you know it's me. It makes no sense. Because God was telling Moses there, I know none of this made sense, Moses. Moses, I know that when I grabbed you and I shook your world, it made no sense for you to lose everything. It made no sense that I would give you the blessing of living such a great life and I just take it away from you. See, what has God taken from you that makes no sense to you? What are you going through that you're saying, God, it makes no sense? We have to stop thinking that God is supposed to make sense to us all the time. And realize that God, sometimes you're not going to make any sense to me. But that's when I need to trust you. See, I'll close with this. I want to really preach to you today. You don't have to understand it. You don't have to know why God has done what he's done. You don't have to know any. It may not make any sense. But it doesn't mean that God is still not working. And the second reason that that bush was burning and God chose to reveal himself through a burning bush is because God was trying to teach him a valuable lesson that he wants to teach you. The Bible says that the bush, though consumed, was not destroyed. And it was impossible because that bush should have been destroyed. But see, God was telling Moses, Moses, you should have been like this bush. You should have been destroyed because you made the worst choices in your past. You killed someone, Moses. Come on. You're a murderer. You lost everything. See, if we're honest enough with ourselves, we can say, I shouldn't even be here in this church right now. Some of you, you should have been dead a long time ago. I know your story. It makes no sense why God has forgiven you. It makes no sense how God has just restored you after everything you did, after everyone you hurt, after every selfish decision you made. It makes no sense why God will still have a plan for you, why God will still love you and use you. And that's when we're grateful that God makes no sense. Amen. And God was showing Moses through that bush, you should have been consumed, but the power of my grace and the power of my spirit has caused you not to be destroyed. You are here today and not destroyed because God is not done with you. And God still finishes what he starts, the Bible says. So he said, Moses, I shook you and you lost everything. But Moses, it's time for that to stop and realize what I'm doing is so wonderful and beautiful. Realize this. Moses is in this place of hopelessness for 40 years. And God finally stops the shaking. And says, Moses, do you see? You didn't know that that was in there, but it needed to come out by shaking. You don't know what God has placed in you until he shakes you. And as Moses is standing there in the bush, God says, Moses, take your sandals off. Because that was a sign of humility. Because you're standing on holy ground. See, God dealt with Moses directly to the problem. Moses, the reason that God had to shake him, the reason that God had to shake his world and cause him to lose everything, is because Moses didn't realize it, but we see it now in the scriptures. He had a problem with pride. And God said, I can't use someone with pride. Moses, you're called. I called you to be a deliverer, but you're prideful and you're arrogant. So I'm going to shake you up a little and cause you to lose everything. Because after these 40 years in the desert, when I tell you be humble, you're going to fall to the ground and be humble. You say, well, Pastor, how do you know Moses was prideful? Think about it. When Moses said to himself, I'm going to go down there and I'm going to kill this Egyptian, why did he want to do it? What was his motive? It wasn't about the people at all. Let me prove this to you. You know, he knew he was called to be a deliverer for the people. But he said to himself, his assumptions were, they're going to like me. They're going to love me. They're going to appreciate me. It was never about them or helping them or rescuing them. It was all about Moses getting recognition. That is the pride talking. Pride says, I need to be recognized for my gift and talent. I need to be recognized and admired by people. I need to be recognized of the awesomeness that I am. That's pride. And it was never about them. So God said, Moses, I got to shake you. And in one moment, he lost it all. But see, God was not punishing him. He was preparing him. What you're going through right now is not a punishment from God. It is a preparation for your destiny. But God had to shake you to bring about the beauty. And when it settles and it's kind of calm, you got to shake it again. Because sometimes we can just settle with God. Take life easy. And God says, yeah. And he'll shake it all up again. Moses was a shepherd. Because Moses' problem was not just pride, it was a love for people. Because remember, Moses knew he was called, but it was never about the people for him. It was all about the recognition. You know how many pastors go through this? Sometimes we forget that what God has done in your life, where he's placed you, is for other people. God has placed you in the job you're in right now, with the family that you have right now, the situation that you're in right now, because he's trying to reach people through you. It's all about people. But sometimes we get so into ourselves, we forget that, and we just want the recognition and to be admired. And Moses had a problem with loving people. How many of you have a problem with loving people? Moses had a problem with people just like you might have. And God has a quick way to get you to be a lover of people. He'll shake it up. So he gave him the job of a shepherd. Because shepherds had to be patient. Because sheep are stupid. How do you know people are dumb? Come on. Think about those people in your life that are like just dumb. And they never do it right. They never listen. That's a sheep. So for 40 years, he's taking care of the dumbest, most selfish sheep in the desert. And for 40 years, he's getting better at it. And better at it. And he's becoming more patient with his sheep. He's becoming more loving to his sheep. He started naming his sheep. He started taking care of his sheep. And he started loving the sheep that God had given him, because God was
planning so much more for him. So he said, Moses, if you can just take care of these little sheep, you can take care of the 1 million people I'm going to give you. But God had to give him a shepherd's heart, so that when he came to Egypt, he would be able to handle the dumb people he was going to lead. I'm not saying you're dumb. I'm saying people around you are. And maybe God is shaking you so that you can love them more. Because people are going to shake you. So remember, when that person shakes you, I pray that they only see beauty come out of you. I love your faces now. No. There's only a certain point you can shake me. And that's why God can't do anything with you. God said, Moses, I have one more test for you to pass. You passed the wilderness test. You passed the shepherd's test. Moses, you passed the humility test, because the second God said, take your sandals off, he didn't say, why? That's nasty. The floor is dirty. He said, yes, Lord. We got to become yes, Lord people. We got to put away the pride and the selfishness and the arrogance and the lack of love for people. And we just have to come to a place of humility, and we say, yes, Lord. Here I am. And he said, Moses, I have one more test for you. Anything, God, anything, you name it. You guys ready for this test? He says, go back to Egypt. And now, deliver your people. Can I tell you, listen, can we be real in church today? I understand when the Bible tells me to love people. I understand it, God, when he says, love people. But what if God tells you to love the people of your past? Oh, no, that changes things. But that's what he was telling Moses. Go back to those people that never appreciated you. The people that accused you, the people that rejected you, the people that maligned you, the people that pushed you. Go back to those people that are the very reason you got in the wilderness in the first place. And go serve them and help them. See, that's the ultimate test of humility, and my humble enough to let my pride down and love those people of my past that have hurt me. Because people in your past, God may bring them back to your life. And humility says, Lord, this is too overwhelming. But God said, Moses, it's what I prepared you for. Because you're here today, you're saying, Pastor, God is shaking me. But could it be that God is shaking you? Because when he's done, the beauty comes out. So don't get discouraged when God is shaking you. Don't lose hope. Don't give up. Don't get mad at God. Don't question him. He doesn't make sense. But he's not at my level of understanding. I just need to trust him with all my heart. Lean not on my own understanding. Acknowledge him and he'll direct me. And humble yourself. And let God do what he's doing in you. For what he wants to do through you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this word. That in this church today, there are people that are being all shook up right now. Life is unstable. Life is just uncertain. There are people here like Moses whose choices are the reason they're in the mess they're in. There's pride in this church. There's arrogance in this church. There's sin and mistakes and failures. There's a lot of negativity and complaining about what you're doing. You make no sense. But we are no one to question you. So I pray today, Lord, that someone would realize that there is beauty in the ashes. There is joy after sorrow. So even though we're shaking right now and you're shaking our world and our lives and things make no sense, we know that when it's over, your beauty and your glory will come out. So if you're here today and you're saying, Pastor, I'm shaking right now. Lord God is shaking my life. My marriage is shaking. My children are shaking. My finances, my health, my future, everything right now is shaking. My word for you this morning is trust God. Because He's shaking you for a purpose. And Moses didn't realize that in those 40 years of shaking, God was bringing about a glorious plan. Because even though you may not be able to see God, God is very aware of where you're at. And He is at work. Can we all stand so I can pray for everyone here? Because all of you will be in the moment that God is shaking you. You don't know what God is leading you to do. But like Moses, we all have a calling. God has a plan for your life. But don't let your assumptions get in the way of what God is doing in your life. Stop living under your expectations from God. Stop living under your assumptions for your life. And just trust God that where you're at is where you need to be. It may not be what you want, but it's exactly what I need. Because God is bringing about something wonderful in the midst of all this shaking. And humble yourself. And make it about God and not you anymore. Make it about God and people and not about you anymore. And stop trying to get recognition and admiration and appreciation and just say, Lord, I'm just here to please you. If I never get a thank you again in my life, it will not hinder me from loving others and loving you. And work wholeheartedly on what God has placed in your life. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for every man and every woman here and online listening now who you have just shaken up right now. And things in their life are shaky. They don't know what you're doing. You make no sense right now. But I pray, Lord, that we would have the humility to understand that our thoughts and our ways are not yours. And you are sovereign. You are almighty. You are all in control and all in power, Lord. And you are all knowing, Lord. And we just forget that it is not up to us to understand and lean on our understanding, but to trust you. So wherever we're at right now, like Moses, let us make the best of it and use it to prepare us for what you have. And if God is calling you to love the people in your past, do it. God doesn't want you living under bitterness and resentment and anger because it will stop you at your destiny. If Moses would have held a grudge, he would never have been used by God. You need to let those people go. God was calling Moses to set these people free, and maybe God is calling you today to let someone free in your life. Let them go. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you and I love you. And I trust you in the moments of shaking. That when it's over, Lord, your glory and your beauty will be revealed. So help us, Lord, when you're shaking us, to trust you, to be patient, to use what we're going through to mature us and complete us, work in us and in our character, and prepare us for what you have for us tomorrow, today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Give God some praise today if you guys were blessed by this word today. Amen.